it for the ages. Precious truth kept quiet in his heart. Hey guys, welcome to episode 17 of Gin Talks with Caitlin
and Katie.
We hope that you're having a great morning, afternoon, or night, whatever it is, whenever you're tuning in. This episode, like I said, is episode 17, and it is called The Pursuit of Purpose. So today we're going to talk a little bit about finding your purpose and your calling, but really what the pursuit of that looks like, more so than the end point. So I heard a quote from Craig Rochelle the other day, and I'm not going to be able to quote it verbatim, but basically he talked about how God is more concerned with the type of person you are in the pursuit of your purpose than he is you finding your purpose. And a lot of us get caught up in finding our purpose and our calling that we forget that you have to be a servant of him during the pursuit. So wherever you are right now, to serve him in the small things and just to focus on serving him and remember that he's the reason for that purpose and that calling. I heard another great message from Craig Rochelle, and I can look that up right now, but I listened to it yesterday actually, and he talked about purpose over popularity. So he talked about how when you are doing a great work and doing a great thing, that a lot of people will try to get you down, but you're doing something higher, of a higher calling, because it's your God purpose.
And that will often not make sense to the people watching. Yeah.
And he said sometimes he likes the pain of it, like when people are ridiculing him or when it is like difficult, because he knows he's doing what he's supposed to do, because it's the enemy's trying to get him to stop. Mm-hmm. It's called I Choose Part 1, and it's Purpose Over Popularity. And it's on the Life Church Craig Rochelle podcast. So we'll put that in the show notes. But that's, he has a ton of really great stuff, but that's the one I listened to yesterday. He actually started out with a story about how when he was younger, one of his neighbors he had a crush on was a little girl, came over and she picked up his dad's cup, like sports cup, which he was like, everybody knows what that's for, but obviously she didn't. And so she said, what is this for? And he didn't know what to say. And she said, oh, is it an oxygen mask? And like, it was like a very funny story, and like put it up to her face or whatever. And he kind of painted the picture of when it didn't have it wasn't being used for its correct purpose. And so it was all messed up. And like,
okay, in relation to that, my child went to visit a friend who he played on a baseball team with, mm-hmm. when he was little, like little league baseball. And when I got there to pick him up, the mom walks out and hands me his cup. And there are teeth marks in it. The dog had run off with it. And so it had become a chew bone.
Yep, which is not...
It was not being used
what it was intended
for its purpose.
Yeah. That's really funny. Welcome to the podcast about sports cups. Yeah.
Yes.
Who would have thought? But I liked one thing he said. He said, that's not, like, whoever made that cup didn't intend for it to be used as an oxygen mask. Like,
no, they did not.
And he said, you have to look to the maker of whatever it is. That's
so,
yeah,
true.
I was like,
that's good.
Who would have?
Really,
that's
good.
A great analogy and great story. But a lot of times we go through life, and especially if you have lost friends or loved ones, and you can see that they're trying to find their purpose and their calling, but they're not doing it. We were just talking about, like a certain person in a certain profession, not finding that purpose with God, then it gets totally messed up and totally,
it's a counterfeit.
Yeah.
Purpose. Like,
yeah.
They feel like they're walking in their gifting, but they wouldn't even know what to call it, but there's still something missing.
Yeah.
And that's what it is.
And they have a passion, like you mm-hmm. said, but it's being used for
passion
something.
Passion without purpose is it's dynamite.
Yeah. Yes.
And an explosion will eventually take place, and not a good one.
Yeah. I like...
It's unbridled. It's like, yeah.
When you say that, I think of when I worked in the news industry and just how dark it can be and how pretty much anyone who's in that industry is very passionate. I mean, you don't meet that many people who aren't because...
Who are kind of lukewarm reporters.
Right.
No,
yeah.
You don't.
Because you get up at terrible hours and don't make a lot of money and you're out in either freezing cold or blazing hot. I mean, you have passion for it or you wouldn't be there. But a lot of times, especially in that industry, it is a passion without purpose. And it is very...
That's the
downright.
Part that makes, I guess, any industry for that matter.
It, yeah.
The dog-eat-dog world.
It does. Mm-hmm.
Nobody's really living for the life of another. It's
no.
They really, it's all, how can I get a leg up? How can I further my career?
Mm-hmm.
So it can be very confusing.
Yeah.
You think that you are all in that together, but it really does not foster any sort of sense of collaboration. Or,
no.
You know, being a good set of shoulders to stand on. There's no such thing as that. It's me, me, me. How
yeah.
do I get ahead?
And even, there are people who do collaborate, and you can tell they're like team players, and they do have some kind of purpose for their passion. And that's.
And I'm not saying it necessarily that they do it intentionally. I think subconsciously.
It just happens.
It happens.
Yeah. I can totally attest to how that can happen because... It's very hard, not impossible, but to not do that, not have that dog-eat-dog mindset and succeed.
Well, and also, I mean, to have been stepped on enough, getting
yeah.
to a place of, well, by golly, I'm going to look out for myself because nobody else
yeah,
is.
So that's
I'll
like
just play like them.
The place I was at right when I left, it was getting to the point where I was like, okay, I just take up for myself. So kind of like, don't really care how I act and treat people. I'm just going to have to do what I got to do, which it sounds like I was like a raging lunatic. I really wasn't. I was still like a doormat, honestly. But I was getting to the point where I was like angry.
Okay. What you did, on the way here, I was listening to a YouTube, and it was Maya Angelou with Oprah.
Oh,
and,
how special.
She had asked Maya Angelou, like, what is maybe the most important piece of advice that you would give or that you had gotten.
Mm-hmm.
And she actually gave two. One was that you need to have the place inside of you that's no. That at some point that's like, you will not cross into that.
Mm-hmm.
That you have to have that place that nobody is allowed to get into. And when you reach that
that's
point,
good.
You're like, step back. And you did that.
Mm-hmm.
You realize you can't change the world around you. You can't change anybody else. At what point? You
mm-hmm.
have to have your line where you walk away.
Yeah.
And you tell them to step back. And you can't make someone step back. So that means you have to remove yourself.
See, I've never thought about it that way. Because in my mind, I didn't have that line. Like, I let anyone in as far as they wanted to go and do anything. And I just kept, like, taking it.
That is the definition of humility that can be muddled so often is
yeah.
humility is being a doormat, but it's not. It's not
yeah.
thinking less of yourself. Humility
exactly.
is thinking of yourself less often.
Yep.
And so, no, we've got to know inside of us
mm-hmm.
that nobody can get to that place. And then her other piece of advice, she goes, probably the best piece of advice anyone ever gave me was forgive.
Mm-hmm.
Forgive all the time.
That's
often.
Good.
And she said that was the, you know, what freed me.
Mm-hmm. I had to do that a lot as well. There was one of my coworkers in particular, and it was a guy about my age. I'm sure I told you all about this, but now that I look back at it, I know that it was very much, he was intimidated by a hardworking female who was kind of climbing the ladder faster than he was. And I hadn't had as much experience, I guess, and I was already, like, at his level, if that makes sense. Like, he had already put in more work than me, for sure, but I was kind of working harder, faster, and just basically got, like, a lucky break. But he did not like me, and when I heard him talk, it seemed kind of, he didn't really like women. And now that I take a step back and look, he for sure was looking for this purpose and this calling and was very passionate about being a reporter, but it was not, it was paired with no purpose, you know?
Right.
And he kind of wanted to step on anyone he could and do whatever. And he was, the insecurities he had with his own job and work, he would just totally lash out at other people. And
it's kind of what the world teaches,
though. It is. And
is do what you have to do to climb it.
Mm-hmm. And
get as close to the line as you possibly can. And that is the opposite when you have purpose of what you have guardrails that keep you far from the line. You're not going to cross the line to get what you want.
And I go back and forth with, when I was actually listening to Craig Groeschel yesterday, I was like, oh my goodness, and I do this all the time, did I give up too soon? Should I have stayed in news and kept fighting and kept kind of showing the light of Jesus there and kept pursuing my passion and purpose there? Like, did I kind of give up too soon? And then I'm reminded, no, my life has turned out so far exactly how it was supposed to. And it wouldn't have turned out the same if I would have stayed. And, you know, I have to, like, wrangle myself back in. But when he was talking about, you know, like, not giving up, he kept saying, like, if someone said something to him, he'd be like, no, I don't have time for that. Like, I'm doing a good work. Like, I'm not even going to entertain your whatever your take. Because he said someone from high school or college, he had gotten a really intense business degree. Like, he was really, really great business mind. And someone from college, like, came up to him one day. They ran into each other, and he's like, so what are you doing? And he said, oh, I started a church. And he laughed. And he said, how many people does your church have? And he said, it was funny because it had, like, 125. He said, so naturally I said 130. He said, you know, pastors have to lie. It was funny. But he said, the guy said, wow, just to think you were voted most likely to succeed. He said, I can't believe that's what you did. And he said that he walked away from that and he was thinking, okay, I don't have time for that. Like, I have a higher calling and a higher purpose, and I don't really have time to talk to you about that. And he kept, like, giving examples, and he kept saying that. Like, I guess it was, he told a Bible story, and of course I can't remember what it was now. But whatever it was that the character was doing, he said, it may have been in Nehemiah. I'm so sorry that I can't remember it.
It probably was, because that's when everybody kept coming and trying to distract him and get him to come off the wall.
He said, I can't come down from here. No, that was it. I'm glad that you confirmed that, because I was like, I'm going to butcher this. It was Nehemiah, and he kept saying,
I'm doing a good work.
He kept saying, I can't come down. And so that's what Craig kept saying. I can't actually come down, so I'm going to stay up here and do what I'm supposed to do. Even when people are distracting you and it's getting hard.
Craig Groeschel, too, was the one that, I don't know, he doesn't take, but his church was making the Bible free for everyone online. And he got tons of criticism for that you shouldn't do. It was a Bible app, I believe. I think it was the YouVersion.
The YouVersion. Yes. Oh.
Was, and of criticism. Like, you can't make it free. And he's like, oh, yes,
it's
we can.
It's free.
It's free. Uh-huh. And to just think of, like, the Great Commission.
Mm-hmm.
That his word will reach in the World Wide Web, and mm-hmm. to make the Bible free online.
That's huge, yeah.
And that he just went ahead with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's like, I'm doing a good work.
Yeah.
I will not be distracted.
I'm not coming down,
I'm
yeah.
going to tell me that I can't and that I won't.
I love that. And he kept tying it back to, like, us caring what, and he said this is one of his biggest struggles, caring what people think. And he kept saying, like, what do you think of my house? What do you think of my hair? What do you think of this? What do you think of that? And he was like, that's, if you get tied up in that, he said, you can't please. And he quoted scripture from, I believe, Nehemiah, that you cannot please God and man. And that's, like, several places in the Bible, of course, but
that can't be your motivation.
No.
Because there are often times, because I'm reading going, okay, it says that he gained favor with God and man.
Yes.
But the purpose behind their actions was not, I want to please God and man.
Right.
The purpose was, I'm going to move forward in what God called me to do.
Right.
And in that, for that season and that place and that time,
mm-hmm.
He gained favor with God and man, and that was for the greater purpose, because we obviously know that Jesus, when he was taken to the cross, didn't have a whole lot of favor
no.
for man.
And that's so good, because we think that, like, I know I've prayed before, like, please give me favor with God and man, you know, but in praying that at that time, I was very much like, please let everybody like me today. I mean, honestly, it was like,
what I'm saying,
please
is,
let people like me. And
what I did that pleases you, please,
like, thank you. Yes, let me go to bed at night with nobody mad at me. But he said, he like said to the church, okay, everyone imagine that everyone you know loves you. Like, you don't make anyone mad. He said, how did that feel? Because it'll never happen. And he was like, I hope that felt good for 1 second. And I thought of, because there are some people, like my friend Kiki, I don't think you got to meet her the other day, but I for sure do not know one person who doesn't like her. If they don't like her, I would probably have like a long, hard talk with them and be like, do you realize who you're
they
talking about?
Don't
yeah.
know her, they don't like her.
Yeah. And I was like, I always think when I think about like, oh, so-and-so hates me. You know, those people are like, she hates me. And I'm like, and my fiance always says, Caitlin, everybody has those people. And I was like, you don't, because he doesn't. And I was like, Kiki doesn't. And he was like, I'm a teacher. I have probably 100 high schoolers who hate me. And I was like, but they don't, you know, whatever. But I always have to think back to messages like that. A lot of times if you're, and Kiki actually tells me this, anytime I'm like upset that someone like said something mean or something, she said to me one time, she was like, she calls me K-Chap. She was like, K-Chap, you know that when people are doing good things, sometimes people don't like them. And she said, you know how Jesus was, right? And I was like, you're right.
Yeah, Jesus was right.
And I'm like, yeah, you're right. And then I still am always
that's
like,
that's a good question.
She did. She said, people hated Jesus and he was Jesus. And I'm like, that's so right. But the whole time he was on earth, he wasn't worried about people liking him.
He
was
came for one
purpose,
permission that he
yeah.
knew ahead of time, and he wasn't gonna
no
to not do it.
He but wasn't gonna come down.
Okay, when we discuss the topic like purpose and calling, I immediately go to The Purpose Driven Life because it was one of the first books that I ever read. Actually, but way before my leg was over the fence and like freedom was happening, but just kind of in that saved. When I was still in the dungeon, I had The Purpose Driven Life, and my husband and I read it. We were on our 10-year anniversary, and we were in Nevis. And we had taken the book with us, and it was sitting, like, on our bedstand. And have I ever told you this?
No.
And so the waiter that came in that brought our food, like, our breakfast one morning, he said, are you a Christian? And I said, I am. And he said, can I tell you my story?
Aww.
And I was like, yes, you can. And so we put the food down, and he goes, I wasn't even supposed to bring your food. Somebody else was. And they asked me last minute if I could bring it. So I think that this is why I'm here.
Aww.
And he had a real thick Jamaican accent. And so, and he was a beautiful man, because he said he started out in the modeling industry.
Oh, wow.
And acting. And that's really what he wanted to be and what felt, but that was his calling. And this was before he knew the Lord. And so he said he was fast tracking that world. That is where he was headed. And he had an instance where, so this was, what I'm about to tell you is very mysterious and supernatural.
Yeah.
So here's this man about to tell me, doesn't know me from Adam, except the fact that I've said I'm a Christian. So to me, it is very brave and bold to just tell someone this
story. Your story, yeah.
So he had it where he completely went catatonic. Immovable on his bed. His family thought he was dead, dying.
Oh, wow.
So he's laying on his bed, eyes closed, but he rises above himself and he sees his whole family, everyone in his house. And he's like, this is really taking place. This is not a vision. He said, and I see me and I see everybody. They think I'm dead or dying. And in that, he said, I see the spiritual battle. He's like, I see the demons and the angels.
Oh,
I mean,
gosh.
Just,
chills.
I know. And he said, fighting for me. And it's like I was at a crossroad and I had a choice. And when I went back and down and I woke up, I told them and I was like, you know, it's a real life story, which is what my mom said, her last words. But he's like, God is real. The whole spiritual battle thing is real. I choose Jesus. And from that point forward, he never went back to that world.
Wow.
But ever since that moment, he still sees the spiritual battle.
Oh, wow.
Every morning, he said, I go and I sit on the shore. And he said, I can tell when they're stirred up. And I see. And he goes, and they're stirred up right now. But there was no fear, because he knew he was speaking from a place of victory. He's like, he's won. The battle's over.
Wow.
He said, but the individual small battles are still taking place because the enemy knows his time is short. And he said, so I see it when it, you know, the battle's intense and it gets heavier and heavier and heavier, and then it'll, you know, at least what I see. And so I just, that story stuck with me forever.
Wow.
And what even brought that up to say was the purpose-driven life. And if I remember correctly, but just him defining purpose, that our purpose mm-hmm. is to enjoy God and to bring him glory.
Yeah.
And that we will be asked two questions when we die. And it was, what did you do with my son Jesus? And what did you do with the talents and the gifts that I gave you? And to me, that's kind of purpose and calling. The purpose was, what did you do with my son Jesus? You know, did you believe him? And did you follow mm-hmm. him? And did you live to enjoy me and to bring me glory? And then the calling was the other one. And what did you do with the talents and the gifts? Did you use those talents and gifts to bring me glory and enjoyment?
Mm-hmm.
So you hear stories like the pastor that started the church
yeah.
and he was voted most successful mm-hmm. into the world it would have looked. But like that's where his passion met his purpose.
Yeah.
Which is his calling. He's
yeah.
like, you know, I'm doing what I was gifted with, and what am I doing with Jesus? I'm sharing him.
Yeah.
And it can look different. I mean, it's not always in a religious setting. You know, there's a lot of lay people. I don't even know what that word means. It's used in the Methodist Church. It's not the clergy, but
yeah.
the lay people.
Uh-huh.
But in marketplace ministry, people all
right.
the time, that they're like, okay, my purpose is to enjoy God and to bring him glory, but I'm really gifted with numbers.
So I'm going to do that. Mm-hmm. Right. I think that's so good because I think that's like the pursuit I'm on, and I'm at like a weird, you know, age 24, and me and my roommate were just talking about like what a weird age, like it's almost like I don't know what I'm supposed to do because I always had a passion for like communicating and...
And you're still doing that.
And I'm still doing it.
A podcast.
Know? Yeah, yeah. And who knew? I never thought I would do it like this, you know, but...
Because it's so professional.
It's so professional, and we know that this is reaching thousands.
We hope it is.
We hope
it's about
it is.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
If it's reaching one or reaching...
Yes.
And that's like kind of where my passion and purpose like met was like, okay, I don't have to be... Like, while, yes, it was cool to be on television and people still are like, hey, were you that girl? You know, like whatever. That wasn't the purpose of it, you know? And it was, and during the time I did have people who would like message me and they're like, you know, I can tell that you are a follower of Jesus, like without me
Which
saying
is all,
it on here.
At the end of the day,
that's all that matters.
You want, like, please let them see Jesus.
Yes. Yes. So that like makes me know that even through all the terrible times or anything I said or did that I shouldn't have, like, that those times really stick out. But I think it really hit me, that really hit me too, where it was like, okay, is this going to be a place where I can live out my purpose for Jesus? And he kind of said, like, there are other ways. And, you know, I that's when I kind of felt him calling me more towards writing. And I know for sure when I'm in that place that my...
Because your blog is communicating, the book
yeah.
that you're writing is
yes.
communicating.
And that is serving like a greater, higher calling and a higher purpose. And it's just kind of funny how I always thought in growing up, I was like, I'm going to be on camera and in front of all these people. And writing is such a, like a behind the scenes kind of thing. Like even when someone like reads your book and like all these authors who... They go on book tours and they speak. But during that time that you're writing that book, like, there's no glory and there's no instant gratification. That's the thing about, like, writing a book. Like, when I sit down and write, I can write for, like the other day I wrote for 3 hours and the world doesn't know what I wrote. Like, no one's here to say, wow, this is going to be a great book. You know, like, this is it.
And we say all the time, and I believe it with every ounce, but I think it's why I get published trigger finger,
mm-hmm.
is that I do write for an audience of one. And I
yeah.
mean it with everything. But I do feel like he has said, that's why he said take the journey before the people, is
yeah.
that, you know, now push publish. Because
yeah.
I want you, the things that I'm writing on your heart, to share
yeah.
with others. Because if it connects with one person, and
mm-hmm.
it helps one person. But in everything, trying to write, you know, I'm writing for him, from him. Like he, it's
yes.
all him.
Yes.
Any of the good stuff. The weird stuff's me.
Yeah.
The misspelled words, the misspelled words, the mess ups. from me.
Yep. Me too. I totally understand that. But I like to think of that when I'm writing a lot as like the your pursuit of purpose. Like you're in that writing stage or whatever, and you're writing these words, and it's all about like who you are and what you're learning and what he's writing on your heart in that moment. And you sometimes don't find the purpose of it until later. Like when I will write a blog and press publish and I think, I hope this reaches at least one person, right. But I don't know. And then in the moment that someone sends me a message and says, this helped me through this, I know, okay, that was the purpose. And I didn't know it.
Okay, a huge shout out. We've talked about StoryCorps probably mm-hmm. almost at least once in every one.
Yeah.
But I listened to two yesterday. They put out a new book called Callings. And in doing that, what they've gone through is thousands of interviews that they've done and put them in writing form. And oftentimes there's more to those stories than were even recorded. But when it talked about callings, there were several on this particular podcast. One was a lady that left like a intense corporate job to be a bridge watcher. It's mm-hmm. the person that would be that sits on the bridge. And yeah. So she said she went to do it for like a year, ended up being there 8 years. And wow. She goes, every day I watch the sunrise.
Oh, wow.
She said, I had a better view than CEOs of companies that yeah. had spent their whole life climbing the ladder.
Mm-hmm.
And she told a story about, and I hope you'll go listen to this episode, but just how much, she said, I was privy to conversations that were so intimate. Mm-hmm. People proposed to people on these bridges, and they didn't know that I was listening. He said, there was one man on a boat every day. I saw him going out to sea, and we waved. I never knew his name. Oh. And she said one time, she said, I waved, and it was in the news. He died within 10 minutes of me seeing him. He had had a heart attack on his boat that day.
Oh, my goodness.
And she said, I was probably the last person that saw him. And so the lady on this interview that had done the interview did some fact-checking to go back and was able to come back and give her his name and read portions of his obituary. And his obituary said, he died doing what he loved Aww. Most, which was fishing.
Yeah.
And I told you my dad was on a fishing yes. boat. And my dad was a traveling salesman, and it mm-hmm. was not what he loved.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know. I think I told you mm-hmm. that before until I was in college. But he did it to provide for us.
Mm-hmm.
But fishing brought him to life, and that he did go home to Jesus mm-hmm. in a place with people. My mom didn't have to find him. All the pieces of that puzzle.
When I told my mom the story of your dad, the first thing she said was, he died doing what he loved. She was like, he died happy. And I was like, yeah. What a way to like wrap that all together, though. Like, sometimes I heard this on another podcast one time, and I can't remember who said it, but it's like, it said basically like, what you're called to do in a season sometimes isn't always your purpose.
Right.
And that's hard to separate, but like, if you're called to like, do a job that you don't really want to do, and you know, that happens a lot where you have to go, same thing every day, whatever, that isn't always the greater purpose. You know, that right. could be freeing you up to, like for me right now, like my job frees me up to be able to do stuff like this and serve at my church and different things like that.
And my dad doing a job that he didn't necessarily love, I mm-hmm. think he definitely was in a dog-eat-dog world that showed people what it looked like to stay ethical mm-hmm. in it. Because he did have people that took money from him through the years, and so it may not have been for him.
Mm-hmm.
The whole career could have been for the better of other people in that world.
And it was all about what he did during that. Like how
and he really did, I think, about laying your life down for the life of another, for mm-hmm. him to work in a career that he didn't necessarily love, for his family to provide, and then never really know, you know, how. And at his funeral, I might have told you this, that like, he had a heart attack mm-hmm. the year I was born and then died. Okay, at his funeral, people came up and spoke. On his lunch hour through the years, he would go to the heart ward at the hospital and minister to my mom, and I had no idea.
Oh, wow.
So we didn't even know that, too. Yeah. He used his pain to go, because he had an encounter with Jesus, his yeah. first heart attack, where he came and sat on his bed and said, this is not your time. He was in terrible pain. And wow. So he did. He used his message and his pain to go to other people that were walking through it to give them hope, and didn't even know it till his funeral.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. See, that's such a beautiful testament to what we've been talking about, you know, like
it really is. I didn't even think of it till we were talking mm-hmm. right now. And then the story of us will end with that, which is my new favorite show. One of the characters on there.
Oh, This Is Us.
Yes, This Is Us.
I have to watch it.
You do have to.
Yes.
I'm scared. Maybe I shouldn't tell you this.
No, tell me. It's okay.
Okay. It's not going to ruin it for you. You see that it's coming. But his biological father comes back into play, and he gets to spend some real quality time with him before he dies. Mm-hmm. And he watches his life. And like at one point, the mailman comes to the door and says, "Hey, how's your dad doing?" He didn't know that he had just passed away. And he said, well, he passed away last week, and the mailman starts crying. I'm about to start crying. And he's like, his son, who he's just gotten to know, didn't know. He goes, "You knew him?" And he said, every morning on his morning walk, we would talk. Aww. And he asked me about my kids, and he cared about my life. And so he starts to see these snippets of how his dad really lived a slower life that left marks, beauty marks, mm-hmm. in his wake. And he had led this intense job for the last 10 years. Like, it had several nervous breakdowns. And you see in the last one, he walks in after seeing his brother perform on stage, just do this fabulous job, goes into the office. They're all working at 10 o'clock at night, and goes in and says, "I quit." And they're looking at him like, "Well, what are you going to do?" And he said, "I'm going to get up every morning, and I might walk instead of run." Mm-hmm. And he said, "I'm going to talk to my mailman."
Mm-hmm.
And you see him just kind of back out of this posh office. And I'm not saying that an office is not a great, I mean, that it can't be marketplace ministry, but that he was like, this is the point where he's like, this is not worth the sacrifice. Yeah. This is not where I'm at my best.
Mm-hmm.
This is not where I'm living out my purpose. I'm going to
do go.
Something. Yeah. I got to go.
Yeah.
And so I just thought it was absolutely beautiful. Like, what do we miss on the way sometimes?
Yeah, when we are so focused on the end point instead of the purpose of the journey.
And we hear it often said, it's where the world's greatest need meets your passion.
Yeah, that's good.
Or where your heart breaks, or what makes your heart on fire. Mm-hmm. Either one is kind of what, you know, that calling is, purpose, which can be used interchangeably. But
yeah.
Okay, quick lightning round. We'll do one question.
Okay.
Okay. And we'll do word association today. What memory comes to mind when you hear the word spontaneous?
I think of day trip. I think of my favorite day trip ever. I think I've probably talked about it before, but me and my fiance, one Sunday after church, I was like, "Do you want to go to Chattanooga?" And he was like, "Sure." It's probably what, like a 2-hour drive from here. I'm not really sure. He was like, okay, sure. And he really had never done anything that spontaneous. Like, he usually has a plan. And I was like, let's just go, and we'll go eat and, like, go to Lookout Mountain and Ruby Falls. And I had, like, a free ticket because I worked in the news or something. And it was, like, our favorite day ever. Like, if you asked him, like, what's your favorite day with Caitlin, he would still say that day. And it was super spontaneous. So that's what I think of. I love, like, day trips like that. And we laughed the whole entire day, and then on the way back, ate way too many Crystal cheeseburgers. We both love Crystal cheeseburgers, so what about you?
I think of the way that God wired me. I mm-hmm. thought it for so long. If I put too much on my calendar and, mm-hmm. and it's penciled in too far out, everything in me starts to tense up. I'm much better, call me the day of. I'm mm-hmm. the person that's why I leave a lot of margin in my life. Literally a lot of white space on my calendar, because I function better in the, like, I'm the one that can go with you on the drive. I'm mm-hmm. the one that can go. Recently, just a friend of mine, I said, "Do you want to go to lunch?" She said, "Well, that's the day that I sit with someone at the nursing home." I was like, "Oh, I'll totally come there." And she goes, "Really?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, I'd love to do that." And that's not any credit to myself. I just really function better in that.
In the spontaneous.
And so I think it's just the way he wired me, and I got to quit fighting it.
Yeah, that's good and encouraging, because my calendar is full, and it gives me anxiety. Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, I have things to do next 2 weeks, you know, and I do better too when someone's like, hey, you want to go get coffee today? And I'm like, actually, yeah, like I can go at 11. Like, great.
Yeah. And I know that we're not always in seasons of our life given the opportunity to have a lot of white space on our calendar.
True, true.
But if I am, I do, so that I can be available
and
for
spontaneous.
That.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way to think of that word.
So that's what I think
of. Well, I hope that whoever's listening, that you will be spontaneous when it comes to the pursuit of your purpose. Don't get so caught up in the end goal and where you're going, and just let God be spontaneous with you and enjoy the journey and enjoy the person that you're becoming in the pursuit of your passion and your purpose and your calling.
And give it some thought if you haven't, that there is a greater good and something bigger than just what's on our calendar that day. Mm-hmm. And to really try and define what your purpose and calling are, and how would you define it, and what is meaningful to you. That was a blog post I wrote yesterday. Yes. I was actually inspired by Hamilton, that he wasn't going to miss his shot. Like, I'm not going to throw away my shot. Mm-hmm. It's a random little sidebar. But if you don't define what's meaningful to you, then you will just drift, and a mean world will define it for you.
Yeah.
So, kind of goes with it.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
So, have a conversation with someone in a different generation.
Yes, about purpose or passion or food or movies or whatever it is.
We're better together. We need each other and have much to learn from one another.
Have the best day ever.
We love you, and we will see you soon. Here comes
our ending credits. Stay tuned for episode 18.
Hold on. You're just going to stick with us.
Stick
right
with
now.
Us for,
sure.
for our music.
Secret. Bye. For the ages, precious truth.